today, and welcome to Philly.
Yay!
And I just wanted, this session is on public health advocacy, activism, politics, and policy for Asian and Pacific Islander health. By the end of this session, I hope you will have a better understanding of the current research and advocacy efforts with Asian and Pacific Islander health, whether it's federally, the community, and different levels, and thinking about ways, more comprehensive ways to address these issues. We have five excellent presenters. Each presenter will have about 15 minutes to present, including questions and answers time. So after each presentation, 10, 15 minute presentation, there will be open for one or two questions. So I want to first introduce our first presenter, Dr. Shanda Ghosh from the Health Resources and Service Administration. He's a medical consultant for federal policy. He will present on the National Asian American Health Agenda. Please welcome him.
All right, good morning. Let me see, can you hear me like this? You can, okay, great. As you said, I'm Shanda Ghosh. I'm from HRSA, which is the Health Resources and Services Administration, where we are part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and we deal with underserved populations, mainly through our Community Health Center program. That's how we reach Asian Americans, mostly. So I'm going to talk about a proposed national Asian American health agenda. Historically, in America, Asian American health research has been specific to Asian American Pacific Islander. It's very rare that you see research that's individual by subgroup. And so it's been sporadic and not very financially supported. Also, data has been, again, lumped into Asian American Pacific Islander. So it's not really that useful in dealing with such a varied group as Asian Americans are. Also, the lack of data has really hindered efforts to create Asian American health goals and to follow how you're reaching the goal. Because Asian American Pacific Islander is really a political name, not really a medical name. And so only now are people beginning to realize that. So this talk is a story about the history of Asian American health and how far we've come and how much data and how we've gone to collect data. And I'm going to talk about the essential elements to establish, fund, and nurture an Asian American health agenda. I have no financial relationships. Okay, hold on. There we go. Okay, in the federal realm, the federal government has recognized the existence of health disparities. And in general, what are health disparities? There are different ethnic groups have different burdens of disease and also are treated differently when you go for health care. So the Heckler Report in 1985 was really the first big report from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The Secretary of Health at the time was Margaret Heckler. And the report was the Secretary's Task Force on Black and Minority Health. And that, again, recognized the existence of health disparities. But instead of giving a reason for the health disparities, it called for more data collection. After that, in 1998, President Clinton started his initiative on race. And that was to look at the place of race in the history of America. And there was a health part of that. And in that health part, they chose six areas of interest which they felt had the most disparities in health. And those six areas were infant mortality, immunizations, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, HIV/AIDS, and cancer. And those six areas were codified into the 1,000-page document called Healthy People 2010, which was U.S. Department of Health and Human Services guide with goals for health for America by 2010. And in that document, again, it recognized the existence of health disparities, but it said they were caused probably by genetic variation, by environmental factors, and by health behaviors. Then in 2002, the Institute of Medicine, that body of brought together by Congress to study important areas, These are experts that are brought together. They published Unequal Treatment, and it really was a sledgehammer over our heads, saying that health disparities are often caused by stereotyping, bias by the healthcare system, which has led to unequal treatment based upon ethnicity. And the problem with unequal treatment is that you have unequal outcomes and poor outcomes. Okay, the problem with Asian American health is, in order to find if there are disparities, you have to have data. And there wasn't a lot of data, and the government doesn't have a lot, or didn't have a lot of data on Asian American health. And so it wasn't until sort of the 1990s where you started getting these articles from people interested in Asian American health pointing out some health disparities in Asian Americans, increased burden of TB and hepatitis B, lung and gastric cancer, liver cancer, thalassemia. And we weren't the model minority everybody said we were. In fact, Asian Americans were neglected with regards to health research. Then in 2003, the GOSH study, that was me, I gotta plug that. that study showed that of the 23 large federal health surveys that happened mostly to the CDC, they had very little data on Asian American health. In fact, those surveys were used as sources for Healthy People 2010, that document. And when you look at that document and you look under Asian Americans, over and over you see the words data not collected, or data not analyzed, or data unreliable. So there was really no conclusions that you can make on Asian American health. And also that study showed that one of the reasons we don't have a lot of information on Asian American health is there are very few federal grants specific to Asian American health. In fact, of all the health granting, 0.2% was specific for Asian American health. If you looked at all the published research in journals on Asian American health, 0.01% of all published research had anything to do with Asian American health. Also about the same time, Clinton and Bush both had executive orders to create a President's Advisory Commission on AAPIs. And in 2003, the Advisory Commission, after traveling the country, talking to communities, physicians, providers, public health practitioners, politicians, came up with a strategic plan for health of AAPIs. But before it could implement that plan and oversee that plan, it was moved from U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to the Department of Commerce, where it was charged to look at AAPI businesses. So it could never oversee a strategic plan for AAPI health. So these were all pieces of a puzzle that sort of locked together at the same time, along with other research and activism, that sort of woke up the Asian American community, and we said, we need more research, we need more data to figure out what our health status is. And CBOs, academia, and federal government at that time took up the charge. And you did see a large increase in research. And some examples that we found from the research, either this is new or were reinforced from older studies. For example, Asian Americans are 20% uninsured. 20% of Asian Americans are uninsured. Asian Americans have the highest rates of stomach and liver cancer. Women are least likely to get pap smears. Asian Americans are 2.5 times more likely to have chronic hepatitis B. Native Hawaiians have two times the rate of diabetes as the American average, and 5.7 times more likely to die from diabetes. Native Hawaiians have higher rates of infant mortality than the American average. 13 times more common Asian Americans have TB than the rest of America. Women 65 and older have the highest rates of suicide in the Asian American population, higher rates of osteoporosis, low rates of calcium intake, and youth have the highest increase in smoking rates. So these are just some of the examples that came from all the research, and there's a lot more. The federal government responded to the call for more health research, and the federal government's funding is important because it, first of all, is the single largest funder of health research. For example, in 2006, it spent $116 billion on health research. And private funders sort of follow how the government sets its goals. So what the government does, everyone else sort of does. So and these are certain institutes in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that did help fund Asian American research at the time. And so there's National Institute of Health, which really does a lot of bench research, CDC, that does public health research, SAMHSA, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Research, HRSA, where I am, does vulnerable populations research, especially and CDC fund. Community Health Center funding, and the Office of Minority Health that does funds regular minority health research. So that was federal government, and now foundation funding for AAPI Health has been a little shakier. There was a report that came out in 2007 from the Asian American Pacific Islander Philanthropy Organization, and they found that from 1992 to 2004, all funding sort of hovered from the 0.2% to the 0.4% of all funding. And in that same time, the Asian American population has grown by 70%. So that's actually, in real dollars, it's $32 billion total that was funded. So about $60 million in 2004 went to Asian Americans. Other foundations that played an important part in Asian American health research, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation gave a historic $16.5 million in 2006 to help eliminate health disparities for Asian Americans over 5 years, and that's called the Health Through Action Program, and it is housed in the APIA Health Forum. Also, the Commonwealth Fund and the California Endowment have given fellowships to train Asian American health researchers and policymakers, and in fact, a number of prominent health researchers and policymakers have come out of their programs that specific to Asian American health. So what does the future hold? Well, federal efforts. There is now an understanding that we need disaggregated data, not just by Asian American or Pacific Islander, but individual ethnicities, because that's the only data that really makes sense. So the census is beginning to see that and collecting data in different areas, not just Asian American and Pacific Islander. The CDC, however, is still a mixed bag. Of its 23 large federal surveys, some of them are looking at more specific data. Others are still looking at Asian American and Pacific Islander. So it's mixed. So even though we have this increase in research and this increase in funding, there's really no focus to any of it. If you look at all the research that has occurred, no one's guiding what research should be done, how much should be done, and so it's very sporadic. You have little bits here and there. It's not giving us a full picture yet of what the Asian American health status is. So there has now been a call for a national Asian American health agenda. And there have been some attempts at creating an agenda. For example, in 2007, a number of Asian American health groups have gotten together and gave Michael Levitt, who was the HHS secretary at the time, sort of a list of focus for Asian American health. The Health Forum has created a blueprint for an agenda. The Pacific Islanders have their own agenda. South Asians are creating their own agenda. But what I see missing is a sense of cohesion. We have lots of little agendas. And also, it hasn't really filtered down to the public health community or the public yet. We don't know of any agenda, we're not following any agenda, and that's one of the troublesome things. So what I present to you is the essential elements of what I consider a successful health agenda. And it's National AA Health Agenda. The reason I call it National AA and PI parentheses is I always hoped that PI would be back as part of AA, because we're a political entity, and the more people we have, the more powerful we have. But it's understandable why PI wants to be separate, because they get overshadowed by AA. But again, I always hope. So the first element of a national agenda would be one organization would oversee the agenda, and that would be the hardest part, because we're Asians, and we often can't agree if the sky is blue. But the only way that this is going to work is if you have one group overseeing it. Certainly, everybody can be part of it. You can have academicians, clinicians, different groups, South Asian, Pacific Islander, Asian American, Chinese, Iranian, etc. But overall, you'd have to have one organization so we can focus our efforts. Also, you have to stress collection on subpopulation data. That's obvious. This is about health, so it's not a political entity. It's a biological entity, so different groups eat differently, exercise differently, and you want to know that information. We would prioritize the largest subgroups and health issues. Certainly, there are smaller groups of Asian Americans that need health research, and we're not going to neglect those. But the largest groups need to be emphasized first. We would strengthen capacity of local organizations. You don't need to create new organizations. There are lots of organizations that already have buy-in by the Asian American populations, and we would strengthen their capacity. We would publish an annual health status report that we could follow. and we would sponsor national health conferences or just add on to conferences that already exist. And finally, we would train in community-based participatory research methods. Those who don't know what that is, it just means doing research in a community by community. Often we're in pockets around the country, so we're often lost when you have these large federal surveys. So if you do community-based participatory research, you are more likely to hit specific communities. We also want to develop an investment strategy for funders. We want to partner with AAPI serving institutions. These are colleges. There have been historically black colleges, and there are tribal colleges. There are now AAPI serving institutions where students are at least 10% AAPI. We also want to collaborate with the media because a study showed that the public has no idea what a health disparity is. And also, the media can follow a health agenda. We can interact with medical provider training institutions, doctors, nurses. They need to know what the public health world is doing. Often there's a large disconnect. But if we interact with them and get their buy-in, they're part of the process as well. Same, we would educate professional organizations, and we would provide input for Healthy People 2020. So all these elements are necessary to have a single focused agenda we can all focus on, we can all be part of, and watch as the decade goes if we're getting closer to our goals. Thank you.
So we'll take one or two questions. Any questions for Dr. Ghosh? Yes?
There are very few national organizations. Like Health Forum is a great national organization that already has roots everywhere. One of the things I feel, though, is you really have to start from the beginning again. Health Forum has an agenda. There are lots of other agendas. But a lot of people were not involved at the beginning. And I think to get buy-in from everyone, you sort of have to start all over. And I would think maybe at the next APHA meeting, you have a meeting for creating a health agenda where everyone's part of it, everyone can follow it, and contribute to it. So again, that's a great organization that already exists. There are a few other national organizations, but it's hard to go in the middle of their work. You have to start from the beginning.
I work with the Asian American Health Initiative, which is one of the local government programs. What is your thought on working with the local government to incorporate to your agenda?
I think local is actually where the thrust should be. Again, you don't have to create new organizations, but it's the local groups that already have connections with Asian American communities that will be doing all the work. An agenda, if a large organization just oversees the agenda, the large organization is just following the work. It's not doing the work. Where you are will be the people really doing the work and getting the data. So it's very important to have you as partners.
We'll take the other questions at the end. Thank you.
Thank you.